from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go, live on the tennis courts in Oxnard, California. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have a lot of Cowboys content coming up. Many people are saying it's one of the best Cowboys practices we've seen in a while. One of the best, definitely by the offense. Okay, so we got all that content coming up shortly. Let's do some Rangers extra innings, though, as... You know, the Rangers went out and lost last night to the Cardinals 8-1, set up a massive rubber match this afternoon, a chance to win the series, and the Rangers went out there and got dominated. 10-1 is the final, so now they get a day off to think about what they've done, and we're going to talk with Mike Peasley here a little bit more about where this baseball team sits here, and a good afternoon to you, Mike. How we doing?
Hey, we're doing well. Uber Eats, delivering home run deals to your front door all season long, always presenting Rangers extra innings. Great to be with you guys today, and this was a rough road trip. Make no mistake about it. Rangers entered the road trip in Toronto, just a game under 500. They were only 2.5 games back in the division. Well, they're heading home now, 5 games under 500. And if the Mariners beat the Boston, they're 5.5 back in the division. This was a really, really bad trip. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They just did not play good baseball.
I mean, what's the takeaway on how it makes you look at who they are, you know, coming into the final 2 months of the season?
Well, it's not like it's an insurmountable lead in the division. Again, they still have 7 head-to-head matchups left with the Mariners. But if we're being honest with ourselves, this is not a playoff team. This offense is MIA. You guys saw more fight with the Cowboys in that little skirmish out there this afternoon, what we saw with the Rangers last two nights. I mean, 1 run on 4 hits last night, 1 run, 5 hits today, against a kid making his major league debut in Michael McKeevy, who wasn't exactly setting the world on fire at AAA, had an ERA about 4.5. But this Rangers offense is just doing absolutely nothing. 25 games the Rangers played in the month of July, 18 of them they scored 4 runs or less, including 14 of their last 17 games. This team simply cannot hit.
I guess Josh Jung has not cured what ails them yet, but how's he looking in the batter's box? Do you expect good things from Josh Jung?
I do. He looked good. You know, last night he got a base hit in his first at bat. He looks fine at the plate. He looks fine in the field as well. You know, you got to give him a little time to get back into the swing of things. Josh Jung is the least of their worries. If you're power ranking the worries for the Rangers, it's Adolis Garcia. You know, this guy has just not had a good season. He just wrapped up a horrible month of July. Eric, we talked about in our network post-game show, he's like, he wants to see Adolis Garcia move from out of the 5 hole and down to the number 7 hole. And I think that's something the Rangers have to look at, because this guy is simply not producing at all.
What do you think overall, just looking back at the deadline? I mean, they weren't able to add a big-time bat. Maybe that was for the best. You don't want to have to overpay for that in a scenario. But I think that would probably have been the area fans were hoping that would happen. But now that we're removed from the deadline, what are your thoughts on what they did?
Yeah, it's kind of what I anticipated that they would do. You know, they bring in Carson Kelly. That's an upgrade over Andrew Kisner. You get another left-handed arm in the bullpen. When you just see the cost of what it took to get some of these guys, I don't think you wanted to mortgage your future to try to bring in a bat that could maybe help you out for the final 2 months of the season. I just think the cost was way too high. So I kind of like what Chris Young did, upgraded the team slightly. It's basically up to the 26 guys in the clubhouse here in the final 2 minutes or final 2 months to try to get this thing figured out.
What do you think of the division piece?
It's bad. It's bad.
What's going to win it? 85?
Gosh, 85? that would put, 85 and 77? That might not be too far off the pace when you look at Seattle and, you know, they're 57 and 52 right now. 85 wins might be enough this year.
Do you think the Mariners and Astros help themselves a little bit, significantly? Like, how much do they change their fortunes with the moves they've made?
Yeah, I like what Seattle did, bringing in Justin Turner, Randy Arozarena. They got Jimmy Garcia and JT Chargois. So, you know, they got a couple of bullpen arms. They got a couple of bats as well. The Astros getting Yusei Kikuchi, I'm still stunned about that one, about what they gave up to get him. This guy's got a 4.75 ERA, and it's not like he's pitched well the last 2 months. The ERA is well over 6, and, you know, they get Caleb Ferguson as well. We'll see who gets hot. You know, each team still has some warts, but I think if you're power ranking the teams that help themselves out the most, I think Seattle would be number one.
Mike, is it, you know, Boats tried to kind of switch up the lineup a little bit here this series. Is it, it's not even that simple anymore, right?
Right.
Is it just so much about, where are you going to put Adolis, and how confident do you feel like that Boach might sit him down and just say, okay, this is where we're at with you right now, and let him try and figure some things out?
Well, if you sit Adolis, Broadus, who are you going to put in for him?
I you know that's exact. I'm asking you the question in a way that, like,
I'm trying to figure out
because, like you said, you know, he's obviously not doing what he needs to be able to do for this lineup. No. So to me, it's kind of what, you know, everybody's talking about, defense. Well, his defense hasn't been all that great this year. And then they start to time, well, he's not hitting. So what is he doing? You know?
Yeah. And that's the thing with Adolis Garcia, is that we have seen in the past him get hot. And I think the Rangers are just hoping that a hot streak is coming. But we're 2/3 of the way through the season. The guy's hitting .210 today. Didn't get the ball out of the infield.
Yeah.
You know, and he's in the number five spot. He's your big run producer. He's the guy that you need to, you know, really get things going offensively. And between Adolis Garcia, between the catching position and the center field spot, those are just black holes for the Rangers offensively. You can navigate your way through maybe one or two, but once you start into three spots in your lineup where you're getting zero offensive production from guys, it is really tough to overcome.
How do we match up against Boston, Pease? We going to be all right?
Well, it depends which Red Sox team we see. You know, Boston entered the All-Star break really hot. Then they've come out of the All-Star break, and they haven't been very good. So we'll see which Boston team, you know, shows up. But, you know, I think right now, on the Rangers side of things, they just have to worry about themselves. You know, they're in a stretch. This was game three of the 25 in a row against teams with winning records. They don't play a losing record team until the end of the month when they go to Chicago to take on the White Sox. So these next seven series that the Rangers are going to have are going to tell us whether or not we're going to play some meaningful baseball in the month of September.
Thank you for the extra innings work, sir. We'll catch up with you soon. Enjoy the day off tomorrow.
Thank you. One more shout-out to Uber Eats, delivering home run deals to your front door all season long. Always great talking baseball with you guys.
Killing it. Thank you, sir. Yes, Uber Eats has been dominating for me all week long here at the the dinner situation. It's been outstanding, so salute to them. Uber Eats, proud a sponsor here of Rangers baseball coverage. We'll talk more Rangers with you here in this opening segment, but we got to watch a pretty good Cowboys practice today, didn't we, Brian? What stood out to you?
Yeah, I tell you what, I really do like what Mike McCarthy's trying to do with some physicality with his team. The way that the practice, there's been times where we've been here at camp and the Mike McCarthy administration has protected its players, whether it's like, we're not going to do one-on-ones, we're not going to do goal line stuff as much, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. I see this a different mindset, at least the last 2 days, when it's get through individual periods and now, okay, here we go. We're going to run a little one-on-one pass rush drills. Okay, we're going to go from one-on-one pass rush drills, or maybe pass rush drills and also wide receivers working against the defensive backs. Then you go immediately into like a 9-on-7 period, you know, where you get some physicality of trying to run the football. I think McCarthy is trying to get his team in a mindset that they have to be a more physical team when it comes to offensive football. There's a lot of questions about what's going on with this offensive line. There's a ton of questions what's going on at defensive tackle with this crew. And I think that's – and then so, you know, new linebackers, secondary, we'll see how that all plays out. Dawson, you mentioned that there were some good throws today in practice by the quarterbacks, but – I think it's just overall the first 2 days of pads, it just seems that Mike McCarthy is trying to implement more of a tougher football team.
3 years, Eric and I have been lucky enough to come out here now. That was the best practice I've seen in the last 3 years of being out here at Oxnard. I thought the competitiveness, the fire between the players, you could tell offense versus defense. Each side was wanting to win. There was one goal line to go situation. They run the football. I thought the defensive line gets a stuff at the goal line. They awarded a touchdown to the offense. The defense is ticked off. They're chirping back and forth. You get your first training camp scuffle with the rookies, Kalen Carson and Brevin Spanford. You had some teammates wanting to correct some issues backside. I saw Malik Hooker, Jordan Lewis. Yeah. They're chirping at one another. I thought it was awesome from the word go today. As soon as you started getting offense versus defense, Izzy McQuamu.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
was talking. Marquise Bell, they get a stop defensively. They're like, Dak, you were asking for it. I mean, to me, I thought Dak made some tremendous throws today into some tight windows. Tolbert made some back-to-back grabs. Jalen Brooks extending, making some beautiful catches, going high, pointing the football. Cooks had himself a good day. I do have big question marks, though, on how successful they're going to be running the football, and I don't think that's really good considering the lack of defensive tackle depth this team's showing. That's a big question mark, but I thought it was a tremendous practice today from a motion, competitive. Everybody got great work in.
I had the score 4-1 during the 2 minute, or not the going for two. I had defense winning that one 4-1. And then also, though, defense got a fourth down stop in the 2 minute drill, and Bones Fossil, who's referee, John Hussey, you know, he calls a flag. He calls a flag when they have an incomplete on a fourth down. It calls defensive holding.
Yeah, it was a beautiful PBU by Jordan Lewis.
And I'm going.
There was a hold on the backside. I was watching that from
over
here.
Saw that? Okay. Because Lewis played it clean.
Who held from the backside? Do you remember?
Jordan Lewis.
Because we were seeing
the PBU.
Got it.
I was surprised.
He had his hand on the back of the guy's jersey. Left hand comes forward. Right hand was holding.
From my angle, it looked like to me that Bones Fossil was playing a little John Hussey and like extending the drive here. But
give the offense more opportunity.
Yeah, like I say.
Got to get their confidence up, man.
I do like the fact, like I say, offense was having some success moving the football. And then Mike Zimmer, like he had his twos out there against the ones. And then all of a sudden they went twos, and there was a lot of, yeah, way to go, offense. Way to... Zimmer brought back in. He took Micah Parsons, and he put him over the top of
stringer.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, he's like, yeah, let's see, Josh Ball. Let's see if you could block Micah Parsons as we just run inside past you and make it happen there.
I do think I've observed this from afar for a long time, but today getting down there on the field, Mike Zimmer needs a wardrobe guy. You know, he needs some fancier coach clothes. He looks just like a fan.
He could go very bummy on you.
Yeah.
He could go bummy.
Maybe some push-ups, too.
He's got a hell of a build, man. Yeah. He's all belly. Looks like just an average-sized dude everywhere. And then you get that profile, it just all goes to his belly, man. Yeah. That's a football gut right there.
When I first started with Mike in the early 2000s, he was an in-shape guy. Yeah. And now he's kind of an older guy like me, not in-shape guy.
It happens.
Still
just
got
beer.
It.
But yeah, you know, Eric Kendricks missed practice with a tight back.
Yeah.
Everything else in the health department's looking pretty good though, right?
Yeah, I tell you what, I really liked what these linebackers, Clark's
flying around.
Clark, when they try to run crack toss, and when I mean crack toss, they try and run the ball to the outside, and they're going to try and bring a receiver inside and crack the end and then get the tackle out. And both times they tried to play, Damone Clark just ran right past the tackle, getting in space, and then makes the play at or behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he's been brilliant every day.
Leofel was coaching him up one time. Like, Leofel was, like, pointing out, like, dude, watch this, watch over. And, like, and you could tell that Clark's like, okay, cool, bro. I'm glad
Thanks, Rook.
Watching both Nealand and Leofel. Nealand's out there getting people lined up, too. He's got, like, Tyus Wead, who's a second-year guy. He's like, no, get over to the other side.
Right.
Both these rookies are really smart schematically getting people where they need to be.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's brought to you by Best Buy Windows and Siding and by Guardian Cabs. Dak was absolutely on fire, threading the needle. I thought Jalen Cropper has the worst personal uniform style with one pant leg totally cut off like Hoochie Daddy shorts, the other one fully down to the ankle. I don't know. Guys, that was just throwing me off personally.
That's an interesting one. I'm seeing a lot of the cut off pants into Hoochie Daddy shorts.
I think Jalen Tolbert is the main culprit of this.
Okay, well, I was going to go all in with T. Billy Johnson as the most Hoochie Daddy gentleman.
T. Billy goes half shirt and then the messed up pant.
He wants to show as much off as he can. And you know what? You got thighs like that, go for it.
Is he wide receiver three then?
He's been practicing right. He's been getting a lot of work. I mean, he's one of those guys that not many people were talking about going into camp, but he's at least put a couple of really good days together.
None of their running backs really are separating themselves, right? None of them have traits that you think that's going to win on Sundays.
Well, they were going – when they went two-minute drill, what they did was you notice that they put Hunter Lipke as the back.
Right.
So he was in pass protection. It's like, okay, not Zeke, You know, not...
they really haven't used Zeke a not, ton. You know, no Rico.
Yeah, no Rico. It's been a little bit of like, okay, let's put Hunter Lipke in that role as the pass blocker, third down guy, maybe even throw the ball to him in the flat. They try to get him one time in the 2-minute drill.
It's crazy. We're either going to spend $12 million a year at running back or just be like, whatever. I guess anybody can do it. But, hey, people are lighting me up on text and Twitter right now, so what the hell do I know? They want to say if I'm still standing strong on believing that the Rangers are going to have a great surge here.
We might need to read a couple of these texts because they're pretty good. I think it's one particular guy that's really getting after you right now on the text here.
It is a small sample size. That's what I would say. It's only a 2-game losing streak.
Don't let him ruin your day, Dawson. I just kind of stay away from all that.
No, this is like a shot in the arm for him. Yeah. This is bringing
Thank
him
you,
to
Chief.
Life here.
Thank you. This is what I need.
Oh, this is giving you a positive.
This is giving you positive energy?
Carry
I feed
him 7 o'clock.
I'm like an evil superhero on the cartoon.
I'm not going to let these people ruin my day.
He likes the negativity.
It is a I just watched a really great practice. I got some evaluation. I mean, I feel good right now. I'm not going to let people ruin my day.
This is not good, though.
650, Gavin, you have the single worst takes regarding the Rangers I've ever heard in my life.
Yes.
You're completely delusional. Well, he also said Gavin is a real company man for hyping up the Rangers and being the only person with eyes to do so this season.
Sure.
The D in Dawson stands for dumbass. That's the 650.
Let's go 650. If you look at this lineup and you're like, yeah, this is about the 24th best, then I guess you know more about baseball than me. But if you look at this lineup and say, what the hell? They have the 24th most runs at this point in the season. They are going to dominate the second half to improve to the mean. It's not regressing to the mean. It's improving to the mean, Brian. And
so
it's going to be a hell of a flurry. I'm thinking probably 6.5 runs per game in August and September.
It's amazing that somebody in San Francisco is wearing your ass out about this right now.
Tearing you up.
No doubt,
it's Mrs. McCaffrey.
They had it out for me.
It might be Mrs. McCaffrey.
It's Lisa.
There's no doubt this is not good, though. Max Scherzer struggled last night. Should have traded him, like I said. I guess that's another one of those worst baseball takes on the station type deals.
Yeah.
But he's got some arm fatigue now, and I guess they're going to have to give him extra days rest. He's on like a 6-day.
Yeah, I think
this happens like after every damn start.
He should probably be on like a ten day deal. You know, and they got enough guys that they could probably go from like rotation to bullpen, rotation to bullpen.
Yeah,
you guys are just like jacking up the. Like, let's go ahead and let's let every 10th day let him throw.
This is what we're trying to do here,
man. Skip a start
we're trying
for him.
To get our grandpa a Hall of Fame
He's
arm
a 40-year-old dude.
Line.
He's 40 years old. You're
we
right
just
got to
buy a little bit more time, you know? See, the problem is too many of you guys have been listening to Bassick. And if you...
Yeah, what the hell does he know?
If you had my life experience, you've heard the Bassick kiss of death be the ultimate backfire for him on dozens of occasions. I mean, how many times did he say, like, Shin-Soo Choo is done? He'll never hit above 250 in the big leagues again. Elvis Andrews, kiss of death. Mm. The guy that was traded to the Padres, the little infielder.
Profar.
Kiss Bassick.
Well, I mean,
last year at the deadline.
Whoa,
after
what are you
they
dragging Bassick in this there for?
Well, because you guys are listening to his baseball nuggets, and you know he's like, "Well, I just don't think it's very good."
No, Dawson, you're onto
this
something here.
Is done.
Took the Rays to beat the Rangers in the wild card. I believe
exactly.
He took the Orioles to beat the Rangers. We're putting this guy on a float in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
I'm telling you, very influential guy, very convincing arguments. Bassick is the best baseball talker I know, but he swings extremely to the, we're done, they're never going to win another game again.
He's emotional.
When, you know, you get in a foxhole. Bassick's not the guy you'd want to be in a foxhole with, you know?
I like how you stood up to kind of explain all this.
Well, you know,
did you feel necessary that
I
you had?
I felt threatened. By
he's having a passionate, competitive day to him, just like the Cowboys.
He had to stand up and swing his arms to tell you, Bassick swings. Yeah,
Chief told you the negative text get me fired up.
Look at him, man. Now he's in his wheelhouse, and he's about to go on a run for the ages here over the course of the next 2+
Thank
hours.
Thank God.
Love this NFL news. They're going to use the Hawkeye technology. Have you guys seen this?
It's about damn time.
They're gonna give you an instant first down or not as soon as the ball is spotted. They're still using a human hand and eyes to spot it, so we're not all the way there, but we're getting closer.
Bye-bye chain gang.
I love me a little Hawkeye situation here. This is good. This is good.
This is now pay attention to what's going on here, okay? Still officials marking the ball, grabbing the ball, throwing the ball to another official.
Your dead ball's on.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's Hawkeye's got it right. Oh, wait. John Hussey's got the ball, and now he's walking backwards for some
stupid. Leave it to Hussey.
Yeah. I'm saying,
Hawkeye situation.
A first down. It's going to be a first down, but line judge throws it to Hussey. He marks it incorrectly. Now it's not a first down. I'm just telling you what's about to happen here.
So these officials
throw the ball around like their life doesn't matter.
Before we've even seen this thing work, you're already going to just take a fat dump on the Hawkeye?
I'm taking a fat dump on the fact that these officials...
You're giving the Hawkeye pink eye? That's what you're doing right now.
If that's what it takes, yeah. Because you know why? Those dudes in those officials' outfits, the ladies and the guys... They throw that ball around like their life doesn't depend on it.
Mine does.
Well, the Hawkeye doesn't come into effect until after Hussey has spotted the ball.
Yeah.
Then we've got the Hawkeye tracking to say, based on where Hussey's placed this ball, is it a first down or not?
Okay, Hussey could completely mark
Hussey
it wrong.
Hussey will screw it up. That's why we need
Hawkeye. That's what I'm saying.
We'll get a challenge.
They will throw the ball all over the place. Like, it's like, oh, we've got a first down. No, wait a minute. We're a half foot short.
Hawkeye's there to keep you honest. I in the sky don't lie.
Damn right. Thank God. For Hawkeye.
They said it's the technology is good to within a half inch of accuracy, but they're still not going to use it to spot the ball. Yeah. Only measure the first down.
Get ready. So that Hawkeye can even work on Broadus.
Oh, look at this. Index card. First down.
Now that's Gene Steratore.
Yeah, that's
okay, when you got to throw him into the mix.
Yeah, well, he's not. I mean, he throws the ball around, too. I'm telling you. Our livelihood is dependent on these guys and gals throwing that ball around.
We got some Cowboys Twitter top tweets going viral about today's practice and everything being said about your Cowboys. That's coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on your home of the champs and Cowboys. 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We have Brandon Cooks coming up at 5:20. Second-year receiver with the Dallas Cowboys, Brandon Cooks, number three, coming up here at 5:20 inside the expressway. Some Cowboys Twitter right here, top tweets going viral about America's team. Flyover today presented by USAA. It was pretty cool. Four F-35s flew over, got a round of applause from the Cowboys players. I think that probably explains why it was the healthiest crowd to date. Maybe some service members getting free tickets to come in here. Good little invite.
It was Military Appreciation Day.
Yeah, that's what it was. They practiced in front of them today over on the VIP side is what they did.
They had a great view.
They had all those, yeah. That view over there is really good.
And the veterans were vocal, you know. Displeasure? It was mostly support. I think it was all support for the most part. Got some good here we goes going in there. Dak Prescott, number 16 in the NFL top 100 players for 2024. Second team All-Pro, second in MVP voting, led the NFL in touchdown passes, number two in total QBR, number two in passer rating, number three in passing yards, and led Dallas to their third straight 12-win season. What do you guys think? Too high, too low, just right? Number 16 for Dak Prescott, top 100.
I think he moved up from 56 a year ago. So, look, he just had his best season. You're a runner-up for MVP. I think around 16, based on what he just did, is very fair, right? I mean, they're not looking at this as the players of, calculating in the postseason performance like we are. We have a very jaded way of looking at this, right? So from a player's list standpoint, I can understand it. I think that a lot of players have a lot of respect for Dak.
Yeah, he was on fire today. Today looked like the 16th best player in the NFL. You know, if you give me that level of being able to thread the needle, accuracy, anticipation, throwing between defenders, and you're connecting passes like that, I mean, I think he had like five or six touchdown throws in a row inside the 20.
Yeah.
Now, it was just some of it was 7-on-7, so, you know, it is what it is. But when Dak's got it going on, he looks like that. I don't know if, you know, how much we should consider when things are going horrible and your team has no chance because he's struggling to complete a pass or even recognize when somebody's open.
Yeah. I mean, I get the when you're one of the top guys in the MVP running and you're at that position, ultimately that's going to lend itself to being high on these particular lists. But if you were doing a draft right now of NFL players, I'd be surprised. I mean, I'd be surprised if Dak was in the top 16 picks of that draft.
It might be all quarterbacks.
Yeah, I guess if you're going
right, if that was the case, then he'd be top eight, right?
I guess
he'd be top 10
if you're going quarterback.
If you just went a straight quarterback draft, yeah. I mean, maybe that'd be interesting. I wonder who the first player would be.
Well, how many quarterbacks are going to be ahead of him on this list? I mean, that's one of the questions here, because he's perpetually.
Well, Lamar Jackson probably will, because when
Lamar won the MVP, Mahomes hasn't been out yet.
Yeah. They're probably going to have like five more quarterbacks on this list. I mean, Burrow, they got Dak ahead of Burrow.
Well, Burrow didn't. Right. I mean, the injury last year.
The injury. Yeah.
That's what happened. These lists are so year to year, and they change. So,
what about
it's
the
not
Houston,
surprising he's that
Houston
high
quarterback?
Year.
Is he?
Yeah, he was 20th.
He was 20th.
Stroud was 20th. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And CeeDee Lamb just came in at 13 on the list.
Congrats to him. Nice job, guys. A couple of highly ranked Cowboys here. Hopefully have massive years, and you know, maybe anything is still possible. We'll talk to Brandon Cooks about that coming up at 5:20. David Moore talking with Trayvon Diggs says, I feel like I'm in a league of my own. There is nobody who can do what I do. There is nobody who can do what Deron Bland does. We're in a league of our own. I don't care about the list. Trayvon Diggs on Bland and him being off a list of recent top 10 defensive backs in the NFL, but
he's closer to practicing.
Hey, he looked ready to go today.
Yeah, when you go from Britt Brown to doing position drills, then you're going to be in the mix here in the next couple of days.
Mike McCarthy described DeMarcus Lawrence as a bowling ball full of butcher knives.
that's incredible, dude.
I mean, you got power, you got some weight behind you, plus you're sharp with an edge. Tank's response after practice, he says, one more time. He was told again and asked if McCarthy had ever called him that. He said, no, not to my face.
Yeah, the question was The question was from Todd Archer about his impression of, is his impression changed, or how has his impressions changed to Tank since he's come to coach the Dallas Cowboys? And he was talking about the rolling block of butcher knives, or the ball of butcher knives, when he used to compete against him while he was in Green Bay. You know, he said that's when you started to prepare for him, that's what you kind of saw as the player. But I think that's a pretty accurate description of Tank right there.
Yeah, a guy that definitely you don't want to get in front of.
No.
You know, but he...
A lot of elbows and knees and a lot of movement going to your quarterback right there.
He did acknowledge that he thought it was a compliment. It absolutely is.
Oh, no, it is a compliment. Yeah. Yeah.
Mike saying the first padded practice was solid, but too many guys on the ground. Yeah. Is that a sign of something?
Yeah, no, that's, you know, you always want to be able to... The coaches are really conscious of this. And so the scouts, it's terrifying with the first practice of guys being on the ground. And sometimes you've got bad players on your team, and bad players on your team get knocked on the ground, and then they hurt a good player, you know. And that's what you always worry about, that somebody just gets completely knocked on, and then now everybody's getting pushed over and stuff. But, yeah, you got to stay off the ground. You got to get in football position, and then once you get in football position, then you just let it go. You're like, you get there, everybody says, finish! You hear all these coaches, finish, finish! Yeah, finishing ends up like somebody like Schoonmaker gets dumped over the top of somebody, and then now he's on the ground, and then all of a sudden Tank's on the ground then too, because Schoonmaker got dumped with him. You know, those are the things you worry about.
Micah had the big Cardinal Senate practice. You don't touch the red jerseys. Those are the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He had the accidental going too fast off the edge, chasing Dak from behind. And he ended up taking Dak off his feet there a little bit. Everything was fine. All was good. And I was surprised. I guess you're Micah and you have this type of seniority. I've never seen anyone touch the quarterback, especially the starting quarterback, and not get an earful. I didn't hear anybody say anything to Micah.
Well, he played a little bit more yesterday. He was a right side end.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work today was off the left side that I saw.
And some linebacker work without Kendricks in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, at 877-881-1053, any questions about what you saw today? If you'd like to fire them at our staff, that would be great. I thought it was interesting in warm-ups. Your guy Trey Lance looked the part much more than Dak when they were over here throwing into the nets, on the run, dude.
Yeah.
He was lasering them in.
He did
in
have a couple good ones.
And Dak was really struggling. At one point, he untied his shoes and tied them back up. I thought he was buying him some time just to save himself the embarrassment. But where is, you know, your meter on Trey Lance as far as what we need to see for the rest of camp?
Yeah, I've kind of felt like that with Trey Lance, though. Throws inside the numbers were okay. You know, the check down stuff, the in-breaking routes, those were not a problem. He threw some routes today where they actually – his ball tends to sail when it gets to the outside. Today, I felt like he threw with more accuracy outside the numbers. It's like he dialed it down a little bit. The ball was where it needed to be. It was in the spot where the receivers could adjust. He's thrown some passes in this training camp where the receivers didn't even have a chance. Hmm. But today was one of his better days when it came to that. I don't like the interception that he had, though.
He had a couple bad ones.
He had a couple of bad ones. And the one that was really bad was the one that Bell intercepted on down in the red tight red zone.
Yeah.
Where he never saw Bell. Bell's like sitting in zone and just dropped a little to his right. And when it was all said and done, I can't tell you who he was throwing the ball to. Now, maybe he thought there was going to be a crosser behind that, and he's like, I'm just going to throw it to a spot and see what happens. But that interception that Marquise Bell had was a awful read and a terrible pass in that situation.
Did he have the one that Willie Harvey picked off as well?
Yes.
Over the middle?
Yes.
And they were very similar to me. It's like he just
didn't see
the linebacker
didn't see him.
There. Well, in Bell's case, it was his safety.
Yeah. Harvey's flying around.
Harvey's looked good. He has. And he's another guy that's going to be he's chirping out there. He's talking. He's getting a little emotional. I love to see that. But for Trey, I think it's going to be about the preseason reps. Mm. Right? In-game, how's he looking? But I think we are starting to see a little bit of the stuff that they talked about in San Francisco. The guy just holds the ball way too damn long.
That final play, they got 6 seconds left, and you're thinking, you got to get a playoff. You can't hold the ball.
Yeah.
And he held it and then started running and then tried to do something with it. And by the time he got rid of it, all 6 seconds were gone, and now you've lost the game. You've driven the ball from your 30 all the way down the field for an opportunity to win, and then you hold the ball and run the clock out.
Yeah, and a lot of that is just, like, getting repetitions.
Right.
And he's not a guy that, dating back to high school, has that many of those. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to get him more in the preseason. And I do think a guy who leans on his athleticism
he
at
is
the
an
quarterback
athlete.
Spot.
Mm-hmm. He is an athlete.
Those guys tend to be more of a gamer than, you know, you're not really running around as much here in practice. Mm-hmm. Even though you did see him scramble and maybe would have scored a touchdown.
There's a couple
of
times,
zone, but
if you remember that before they were into pads, they got stopped on a goal line situation down.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We have Brandon Cooks coming up at 5:20. Second-year receiver with the Dallas Cowboys, Brandon Cooks, number three, coming up here at 5:20 inside the expressway. Some Cowboys Twitter right here, top tweets going viral about America's team. Flyover today presented by USAA. It was pretty cool. Four F-35s flew over, got a round of applause from the Cowboys players. I think that probably explains why it was the healthiest crowd to date. Maybe some service members getting free tickets to come in here. Good little invite.
It was Military Appreciation Day.
Yeah, yeah,
that's what it was.
They practiced in front of them today over on the VIP side is what they did.
Yeah, they had a great view.
They had all those, yeah. That view over there is really good.
And the veterans were vocal, you know. So there was
displeasure?
It was mostly support. I think it was all support for the most part. Got some good here we goes going in there. Dak Prescott, number 16 in the NFL top 100 players for 2024. Second team All-Pro, second in MVP voting. Led the NFL in touchdown passes, number two in total QBR, number two in passer rating, number three in passing yards, and led Dallas to their third straight 12-win season. What do you guys think? Too high, too low, just right? Number 16 for Dak Prescott, top 100.
I think he moved up from 56 a year ago. So, look, he just had his best season. You were runner-up for MVP. I think around 16, based on what he just did, is very fair, right? I mean, they're not looking at this as the players of, calculating in the postseason performance like we are. We have a very jaded way of looking at this, right? So from a player's list standpoint, I can understand it. I think that a lot of players have a lot of respect for Dak.
Yeah, he was on fire today. Today looked like the 16th best player in the NFL. You know, if you give me that level of being able to thread the needle, accuracy, anticipation, throwing between defenders, and you're connecting passes like that, I mean, I think he had like five or six touchdown throws in a row inside the 20.
Yeah.
Now, it was just some of it was 7-on-7, so, you know, it is what it is. But when Dak's got it going on, he looks like that. I don't know if, you know, how much we should consider when things are going horrible and your team has no chance because he's struggling to complete a pass or even recognize when somebody's open.
Yeah. I mean, I get the when you're one of the top guys in the MVP running and you're at that position, ultimately that's going to lend itself to being high on these particular lists. But if you were doing a draft right now of NFL players, I'd be surprised. I mean, I'd be surprised if Dak was in the top 16 picks of that draft.
It might be all quarterbacks.
Yeah, I guess if you're going
right, if that was the case, then he'd be top eight, right?
I guess
he'd be top 10
if you're going quarterback.
If you just went a straight quarterback draft, yeah. I mean, maybe that'd be interesting. I wonder who the first player would be.
Well, how many quarterbacks are going to be ahead of him on this list? I mean, that's one of the questions here, because he's perpetually.
Well, Lamar Jackson probably will, because when
Lamar won the MVP, Mahomes hasn't been out yet.
Yeah. Probably like they're probably going to have like five more quarterbacks on this list. I mean, Burrow, they got Dak ahead of Burrow.
Well, Burrow didn't right. I mean, the injury last
the injury,
year.
Yeah, that,
that's
yeah.
what like these lists are so year to year and they change. So,
what about
like, it's
the
not
Houston,
surprising he's
Houston
that high
quarterback?
This year.
Is he?
Yeah, he was 20th.
He was 20th.
Okay. Stroud was 20th. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And CeeDee Lamb just came in at 13 on the list.
Congrats to him. Nice job, guys. A couple of highly ranked Cowboys here. Hopefully have massive years, and you know, maybe anything is still possible. We'll talk to Brandon Cooks about that coming up at 5:20. David Moore talking with Trayvon Diggs says, I feel like I'm in a league of my own. There is nobody who can do what I do. There is nobody who can do what Deron Bland does. We're in a league of our own. I don't care about the list. Trayvon Diggs on Bland and him being off a list of recent top 10 defensive backs in the NFL. But
he's closer to practicing.
Hey, he looked ready to go today.
Yeah, when you go from Britt Brown to doing position drills, then you're going to be in the mix here in the next couple of days.
Mike McCarthy described DeMarcus Lawrence as a bowling ball full of butcher knives.
that's incredible, dude.
I mean, you got power, you got some weight behind you, plus you're sharp with an edge. Tank's response after practice, he says, one more time. He was told again and asked if McCarthy had ever called him that. He said, no, not to my face.
Yeah, the question was from Todd Archer about his impression of, is his impression changed, or how has his impressions changed to Tank since he's come to coach the Dallas Cowboys? And he was talking about the rolling block of butcher knives, or the ball of butcher knives, when he used to compete against him while he was in Green Bay. You know, he said that's when you started to prepare for him, that's what you kind of saw as the player. But I think that's a pretty accurate description of Tank right there.
Yeah, a guy that definitely you don't want to get in front of.
No.
You know, but he...
A lot of elbows and knees and a lot of movement going to your quarterback right there.
He did acknowledge that he thought it was a compliment. It absolutely is.
Oh, no, it is a compliment. Yeah. Yeah.
Mike saying the first padded practice was solid, but too many guys on the ground. Yeah. Is that a sign of something?
Yeah, no, that's, you know, you always want to be able to... The coaches are really conscious of this. And so the scouts, it's terrifying with the first practice of guys being on the ground. And sometimes you've got bad players on your team, and bad players on your team get knocked on the ground, and then they hurt a good player, you know. And that's what you always worry about, that somebody just gets completely knocked on, and then now everybody's getting pushed over and stuff. But, yeah, you got to stay off the ground. You got to get in football position, and then once you get in football position, then you just let it go. You're like, you get there, everybody says, finish! You hear all these coaches, finish, finish! Yeah, finishing ends up like somebody like Schoonmaker gets dumped over the top of somebody, and then now he's on the ground, and then all of a sudden Tank's on the ground then too, because Schoonmaker got dumped with him. You know, those are the things you worry about.
Micah had the big Cardinal Senate practice. You don't touch the red jerseys. Those are the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He had the accidental going too fast off the edge, chasing Dak from behind. And he ended up taking Dak off his feet there a little bit. Everything was fine. All was good. And I was surprised. I guess you're Micah and you have this type of seniority. I've never seen anyone touch the quarterback, especially the starting quarterback, and not get an earful. I didn't hear anybody say anything to Micah.
Well, he played a little bit more yesterday. He was a right side end.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work today was off the left side that I saw.
And some linebacker work without Kendricks in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, at 877-881-1053, any questions about what you saw today? If you'd like to fire them at our staff, that would be great. I thought it was interesting in warm-ups. Your guy Trey Lance looked the part much more than Dak when they were over here throwing into the nets, like on the run, dude.
Yeah.
He was lasering them
in. He did
have
a couple good ones.
And Dak was really struggling. At one point, he untied his shoes and tied them back up. I thought he was buying him some time just to save himself the embarrassment. But where is, you know, your meter on Trey Lance as far as what we need to see for the rest of camp?
Yeah, I've kind of felt like that with Trey Lance, though. Throws inside the numbers were okay. You know, the check down stuff, the in-breaking routes, those were not a problem. He threw some routes today where they actually his ball tends to sail when it gets to the outside. Today, I felt like he threw with more accuracy outside the numbers. It's like he dialed it down a little bit. The ball was where it needed to be. It was in the spot where the receivers could adjust. He's thrown some passes in this training camp where the receivers didn't even have a chance. Hmm. But today was one of his better days when it came to that. I don't like the interception that he had, though.
He had a couple bad ones.
He had a couple of bad ones. And the one that was really bad was the one that Bell intercepted on the, down in the red tight red zone.
Yeah.
Where he never saw Bell. Bell's like sitting in zone and just dropped a little to his right. And when it was all said and done, I can't tell you who he was throwing the ball to. Now, maybe he thought there was going to be a crosser behind that. And he's like, I'm just going to throw it to a spot and see what happens. But that interception that Marquise Bell had was a awful read and a terrible pass in that situation.
Did he have the one that Willie Harvey picked off as well?
Yes.
Over the middle?
Yes.
And they were very similar to me. It's like he just
didn't see
the linebacker
didn't see him.
There. Well, in Bell's case, it was his safety.
Yeah. Harvey's flying around.
Harvey's looked good. He has. And he's another guy that's going to be he's chirping out there. He's talking. He's getting a little emotional. I love to see that. But for Trey, I think it's going to be about the preseason reps. Hmm. Right? In-game, how's he looking? But I think we are starting to see a little bit of the stuff that they talked about in San Francisco. The guy just holds the ball way too damn long.
The final play, they got 6 seconds left, and you're thinking, you got to get a playoff. You can't hold the ball.
Yeah.
And he held it and then started running and then tried to do something with it. And by the time he got rid of it, all 6 seconds were gone, and now you've lost the game. You've driven the ball from your 30 all the way down the field for an opportunity to win, and then you hold the ball and run the clock out.
Yeah, and a lot of that is just, like, getting repetitions.
Right.
And he's not a guy that, dating back to high school, has that many of those. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to get him more in the preseason. And I do think a guy who leans on his athleticism
at the quarterback spot. Mm-hmm. He is an athlete.
Those guys tend to be more of a gamer than, you know, you're not really running around as much here in practice, mm-hmm. Even though you did see him scramble and maybe would have scored a touchdown.
Well, there's a couple of times, if you remember that before they were into pads, they got stopped on a goal line situation down here where he tried to run.
Yes.
And then they got stopped on fourth down. And so here they are. They get the goal line again, and they get stopped with him being down there.
Killing it. Thank you so much, gentlemen. An edition of The Finest coming up next. Brandon Cooks at 520. Chief, what's on deck?
The most eye-opening thing I've seen at Cowboys camp next year in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.